And I want to encourage you to try to understand the truth, what the Lord is trying to say to us through Paul here. I know 19 verses can be a little long, but I think the Lord will help us. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 3, verses 7 to chapter 4, verse 6. So please follow along in your Bibles as I read, starting with 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Who, that's speaking of God, also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration, the ministry of death, written and engraven in stones, referring to the Old Testament law, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit, the Spirit's ministry, be rather glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. O God, our Father, we thank you for giving us your word, your truth that sets us free, that brings light to darkened hearts. Thank you for the gospel. And thank you for your love manifested in Jesus Christ dying on the cross in our place to take away all of our sins. And we ask that you would work in our hearts. You know the heart condition of each one of us, the life circumstances that each one of us face. And we ask that by your Spirit, you would minister your word to meet our needs and to help us to draw near to you by the blood of Jesus Christ, to know you and to make you known. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Do you have a goal each day? Usually my goal is to try to lessen the amount of things on my list of things to do. And usually that happens a little bit, but far less than what I really want. For some people, their daily goal is to walk 10,000 steps. I don't know if I meet that goal. Some people, their goal is simply, they just want to have fun. Some people, it's to earn money. Now, these things are not necessarily wrong in themselves, but each one of them fall far short of why the Lord has given us life. A biblical goal for us each day should be to know Jesus Christ more and to make him known. The focus of the book of 2 Corinthians is the nature of Christian ministry, the nature of true ministers. And so that we realize that this applies to us, realize that all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, who are saved, we all are New Testament ministers. If you have been saved by Jesus Christ through faith alone in him, not depending upon works, then you have been saved through the new covenant, the New Testament, in Christ's blood. The new covenant is forgiveness of sins by the grace of God through the death of Jesus Christ in our place. That's what saves a person. That's what changes him and makes him a new creature and makes him a new covenant or New Testament Christian. And being a New Testament Christian makes us, each one of us, witnesses for Jesus Christ. Because we've been entrusted with the gospel of Christ, we have been commissioned, because what Jesus Christ said to his disciples is said to us, because we are disciples of Christ. We have been entrusted with the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, because we have been trusted with the gospel. So you are a New Testament minister. And what 2 Corinthians says to New Testament ministers, he is saying to us as New Testament ministers, New Testament Christians. And we're going to see in this passage that as New Testament ministers, New Testament believers, we have three privileges. And there are more, but we'll focus on three privileges. We are privileged to see the glory of the Lord. Secondly, we are privileged to reflect the glory of the Lord. And thirdly, we are privileged to proclaim the glory of the Lord. So let's look at the first truth. We are privileged to see the glory of the Lord. We are privileged to see when the rest of the world, their minds, their eyes are blinded. Look at chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. The minds of the children of Israel were blinded. But it also says the veil is still on their hearts, untaken away. So this is not just the past. In fact, verse 14b says, or verse 15, but even unto this day, the veil is upon their heart. When they read the Old Testament. Now, that may make us think that the problem is the Old Testament. The Old Testament is not the problem. That was the scriptures that the Jews knew. So Paul is speaking of the Jews and the scriptures that they had at that point, was the Old Testament. The real point is that they were unable to see. And what were they not able to see that we can see? It's the glory of God. You and I can see what millions and even billions of people in the world, in human history and today, are not able to see. But we can see. We can see the glory of the Lord. And it's not just the Jews. Paul is speaking of them, but it's not just the Jews who cannot see. If you look at chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So all those that are lost, the gospel is hidden to them. They cannot see. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So their minds are blinded. And who are they? Those that believe not. All unbelievers. Not just unbelieving Jews, but all unbelievers. Their minds are blinded. Their hearts are darkened. They cannot see. They open the Bible, and somebody who is unbeliever can understand, in a sense, many of the things that the Bible is saying, the content, but real spiritual insight that causes a relationship with Jesus Christ or that draws them closer to Christ, they cannot have that insight because they do not have the Spirit of God. It's only if the Spirit of God works in them and supernaturally opens their eyes that they can see. Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So it's all unbelievers who are blinded and cannot see. And what does it mean to see? I realized what it means to see back in 1991. I was a first-year missionary, and there were two students who lived with me, and they were from the province, first time in Manila, first time to have American teachers, and one day, one of them said, "Sir, what do you mean when you say, 'I see'?" So, because I was a new missionary, I think I had been asking them a lot of questions about the Philippines and about culture, and they explained, and when they would explain, I would say, "Okay, I see, I see." And so I had been saying this phrase many, many times, and finally one of them had the courage to ask me, "What do you mean when you say, 'I see'?" What do we mean when we say, "I see"? What we mean there is, I understand. I understand the what you're saying. But unbelievers' minds and hearts do not understand. But we can understand. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But he that glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, says the Lord." That's what we glory in. That sets us apart from 90%, who knows, of the people in this world. We can understand and know God. We can see the glory of God. And why? Why is it us? Why can we see the glory of God and others cannot? It's not because we are naturally more insightful, not because we have a more tender heart than everybody else, and everybody else has a hard heart. It's because, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there was someone who graciously removed the veil. There was somebody who graciously shone light into our darkness. Look at the end of verse 14. The last phrase of verse 14 says, which veil is done away in who? In Christ. It's Christ. Verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. It's the Lord who does this. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty, freedom. Freedom to do what? Freedom to see. To see without a veil. To see the glory of God. And that's what we have, the liberty that we have, because we have the Spirit of the Lord indwelling us. We are not the natural man anymore. We have within us the Spirit of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And verse 18, the first part, but we all with open face. Open face means an unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. What did John Newton say? He wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." We see because of God's amazing grace to save our souls. Do you see? Do you see the glory of the Lord? When you open God's word, do you see the glory of God and you bow your heart in worship because you have seen God, because you have seen Jesus Christ for who he is? God become man who died on the cross for you, and you have received that by faith. And you glory in your salvation, that your sins are all forgiven. And you glory in him because you've seen him in his word. Do you see? What do you see? What do we look at and behold each day? When I thought about this, I remember seeing some very amazing things and beautiful things in my life. Being a missionary has many, many, many benefits. It's definitely not a sacrifice. We are richly rewarded far beyond any sacrifice that we make. When I was a boy, I remember seeing the Grand Canyon and petrified forest in Arizona. When I went to the UAE, Dubai, I was stunned by the amazing architecture there. And in India, just a splash of colors everywhere. I enjoyed seeing the city-states of Singapore and Hong Kong. It was fascinating how they run the country and every aspect of it there. Singapore, especially. I had the privilege of being in the Marianas and in Saipan and swimming there. The water is clear, and I was swimming, and there on the bottom of the ocean, I wasn't out very far, but there was this beautiful, bright blue starfish that, you know, how do you take a picture underwater? But that was amazing to see. And of course, in Manila, you see beautiful sunsets, Manila Bay, the Banawe rice terraces, and the underground river in Palawan. Many beautiful things to see. But actually, none of those things we have to see. I'm glad I saw them. But we don't really need to see those things. What we need to see is the glory of God. Because without that, we will not go to heaven. You've got to see Jesus Christ for who he is, Savior and Lord and King. We need to see Jesus Christ as the one who in him is our righteousness and sanctification and wisdom. We need to see the Lord. When Moses spent time with God, listening to him, Moses' face became shining so bright that people were afraid. Imagine that, seeing a face that's too bright to look at. So what must it be like to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? What we need to see when we see like beautiful sights in nature and in the world, we need to see in them, that's an evidence of the glory of God. And most of all, we need to see the glory of God in his word. You know, if you look at chapter 3, verse 10, let's do a comparison of glory. Chapter 3, verse 10, "For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth." Let's go back to Moses. Here is a face that, because he saw the glory of God, his face was shining bright. But that glory was fading away. And in fact, chapter 3:10 says, it had no glory in comparison to the glory that excels, the glory of the Lord, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There were two people walking along, and they were very, very discouraged over what had happened in their lives. Their hopes were dashed to pieces, and there were many things that they were confused about. But then, Jesus came and explained the scripture to them. And their confused, discouraged hearts became blazing with excitement and joy. Why is that? Because they understood the scriptures and they saw Jesus Christ. That's what happens for a believer. That's the privilege that we have as believers. We can open the scriptures, understand it, and see the glory of Jesus Christ. And our hearts are changed. People for centuries, for millennia, and billions of people today, they long for happiness without realizing that what their hearts long to see is what we have the privilege to see, the glory of the Lord. Each day, let's open our Bibles and let's open our hearts to see the glory of the Lord in his word. And when we do, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. A second privilege we have as New Testament believers is that we are privileged to reflect the glory of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 18. "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We are privileged to reflect the glory of the Lord. We can see the glory of the Lord, and we can reflect that glory. Just like Moses saw the glory of the Lord, he reflected it, and we can too. In verse 18, both the word beholding and the word changed are in a continuing action tense. So what that means is, as we are beholding the Lord's glory, we are being changed. As we continue to behold the Lord's glory and not turn our eyes to the things of the earth, as we continue to behold the Lord's glory, we continue to be changed, transformed from one level of glory to greater and greater levels of glory. And the word changed here is the word that Pastor Schlegel mentioned this morning, metamorpho, from which we get our word metamorphosis, to be transformed from one thing into something else. Wouldn't you like that? To be more and more transformed. This is one of the reasons why New Year's Day is not a very happy day for me. Because I look back on the past year and I am frustrated with how little I have changed. But this passage encourages me that if I continue beholding the Lord in His Word, and if I do that more consistently, and I keep my focus on the Lord, I can be more and more transformed into His glorious image, to be like Christ, to have the Spirit of Christ, gracious and merciful and loving and kind, to have the character of Christ more and more, of holiness and righteousness. This is what we need. And this is what is our privilege that can happen in our lives. We can be transformed by the glory of the Lord. We can reflect the glory of the Lord. And it is not our glory. We are simply reflecting the glory of Christ as we behold Him, just like the moon reflects the glory, the light of the sun, like Moses reflected the glory of God. We can reflect the glory of God. How is that? As we are beholding and beholding Christ in His Word, and at the end of verse 18, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, once again, as this morning's message pointed out, it is God who transforms us. We don't transform ourselves by sheer determination and scripture meditation. We do the spiritual disciplines of meditating on His Word, focusing on the Lord, praying to Him, but it is the Spirit of the Lord who changes us. Bob Jones Sr. wanted all Christians to be what he called show window material, what you put on the display window of your store. He wanted every Christian to be a reflection of the beauty of Christ that draws people to want to know Christ. Ron Hamilton wrote, "I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. I could hear His voice in the words you said. I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes, I saw His care. I could see His love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you." That is what I want. That's what each one of us should want, that when people see us, they see a reflection of the glory of the Lord. Let's be transformed and reflect the glory of our Savior. So our first privilege As New Testament believers, we have the privilege to see the glory of the Lord. Secondly, we have the privilege to reflect the glory of the Lord. And third, we have the privilege to proclaim the glory of the Lord, to proclaim the Lord's glory, because it is not enough to simply reflect the Lord's glory. We must proclaim it. We must declare it. We must, with our mouths, speak the gospel to other people. We are privileged to proclaim the glory of the Lord. And again, we are New Testament ministers. As New Testament Christians, we are New Testament ministers. We are witnesses of Jesus Christ. We have been entrusted with the gospel. We have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to do what? Many things, but according to Acts, the Spirit empowers us to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are commissioned to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We are privileged to proclaim the light of the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. So we have such hope, and to summarize the verses before verse 12, we have the hope, meaning the confidence, that what Christ has done in our lives, the salvation that he has wrought on the cross, and the work that he has done in saving us, that will lead, we have confidence that that will lead to glory. Glory that will not fade away. Glory that excels and remains. Therefore, verse 12 says, seeing we have that confidence that we are on our way to experiencing the glory of God, because of that, we use great plainness of speech, great boldness of speech. Chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Let's just look at verse 2. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 1, again, is talking about, chapter 4, 1 mentions the ministry. As New Testament ministers, we use great plainness of speech, we speak boldly, and we manifest the truth. We openly state the truth. We just, you know, it's not our job to regenerate people, but it is our job to declare to people the truth, to openly state the truth. Martin Lloyd-Jones was once interviewed about if he had the opportunity to speak to British Parliament, what would he say? And he knew some of those people because before he became a pastor, he was the assistant to the royal physician, and he had met many nobility, dukes and duchesses and noble people in his life who were now in Parliament. And he was asked, if you had the opportunity to speak to Parliament, what would you say? And Martin Lloyd-Jones said that he would tell them, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Flee the wrath to come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. That was his message. That would have been his message to them. To openly, clearly state the truth that people need to hear, for the salvation of their souls. Because without that, they're damned to hell. It's our sin, right? Our sin is the problem. That's why we are condemned already. A person who lives this earth may do many, many, many good things. Be very kind and loving and do charitable things for other people. But all of us sin. And the only way that that sin debt can be erased is by receiving, by faith, Jesus Christ's work on the cross as the only acceptable payment for your sin. And the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because when we stand before God, 90% righteous will not cut it. We have to have a perfect righteousness that is placed on our account, justification, by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. That's the gospel. Chapter 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So again, we are to verbally proclaim the gospel. We're to use plainness of speech. Of course, be kind, be gracious, but boldness is not speaking loudly or speaking angrily. Boldness is simply saying everything that you ought to say. We are to speak plainly. We are to openly state the truth, and we are to proclaim it. This word preach is simply the word meaning to publicly proclaim. It's not just speaking behind a pulpit during a church service. This word preach means to publicly proclaim, even if it's one-on-one, you're telling somebody the gospel. We were given the treasure of the gospel so that by God's using us, he can use us to shine light into people's darkness. We are privileged to proclaim the glory of the Lord. Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. It is him that we need to see. It is Jesus Christ that we need to reflect. It is Jesus Christ that we need to proclaim. He is our life. And that is the daily goal that we should have. And the mission that each one of us should have. I'm a missionary, but all of us have a mission. And the mission that we should have each day is, Lord, help me this day to see the glory of the Lord, to reflect the glory of the Lord, and to proclaim the glory of the Lord. We are privileged to see, reflect, and proclaim the glory of the Lord, and that is your daily mission. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would take your word and root it into our hearts. Change us, our thinking, our hearts, and our lives for your glory's sake. And Lord, we do pray that if there are any here who are not able to even do the first thing, to see the glory of the Lord, because they do not have the Spirit of the Lord indwelling within them, because they are not saved, we pray that you would open their hearts to cast aside trust in self, in works, in creeds, in church, and to put their trust in Jesus Christ alone. We pray this In his name, amen.